Life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes life seems like it's totally free and smooth, and other times it can seem impossible to see the light at the end of the tunnel. All Is Coming is a podcast for people who want to end the crazy, create clarity, and find balance in their lives. This is a community that believes anything is possible. We just have to be willing to practice with total devotion and do the work, and all is coming. I'm Monica Stone, and I'm a yoga teacher and mentor. I teach classes locally in Orlando, Florida, but I'm also a virtual yoga teacher at theyogimovement.com, and that's yogi with an I. I help people who are driven and motivated, but busy and overwhelmed, like entrepreneurs and successful business leaders. I teach simple yoga practices to quiet the mind so that you can find deep purpose and move forward on your path with clarity and confidence, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, so that you can take control of your life, find happiness daily, and focus on what matters most. Welcome to the All Is Coming podcast. Let's get started. Hello there. So thank you so much for tuning in to my podcast. This is the All Is Coming podcast, and this is my first podcast. So I'm so excited that you're here, and I have to tell you, I had a ton of resistance with recording this. When I think of these topics in my head, I'm super passionate about them, and I have these like conversations kind of with myself. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I think about making the podcast, and I have these conversations, and I start kind of thinking it and creating it in my head, and it's so natural, and I'm so excited to make the podcast. But then when I started to actually come up with topics and ideas and the idea of putting it all together and speaking into the microphone and creating this podcast, I started to get resistance and a little bit of fear, and I had to like write out a script and get all prepared for it. So I don't know where that resistance comes from, but I do know that when this stuff happens, as you keep doing it, it becomes easier and easier, and it becomes more natural. So thank you so much for being here for the first one, and I just can't wait to keep on going. So this first podcast is What is Yoga? Which is kind of a elusive topic. Like, it's so broad, and I've never really had, you know, I've had my blog for a while, since 2013. I've been practicing yoga for way longer. I got my teacher training actually in 2011, my Ashtanga training. I practiced with an authorized teacher who had studied from, you know, Mysore, India with Sharat and Patabi Joyce. And so she taught me here in Orlando, or Winter Park, Florida, actually. And so that is my specialty and my expertise, I guess I should say, is in Ashtanga Vinyasa Yoga. And so I was practicing way before that. That's when I deepened my practice and got my teacher training. But even though I've been doing my blog professionally since 2013, I've never done a podcast, and I've never really said what is yoga and defined it, because I just felt like it was just going to be too big of a topic, and I didn't even know if I could define it. But I've been in the, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I think I've got a pretty good grasp on my own personal definition of what I think yoga is, and I think that it holds true. So I'm going to try to tackle it this time around. So yoga is defined in the second sutra. So the Yoga Sutra in Sanskrit says yoga chitta vritti nirodaha. So what that means is yoga is the cessation of the fluctuations of the mind waves. So I'll say that in a little easier terms to understand. Yoga is the quieting of the mind chatter. So all that stuff, like when you go to sleep and your mind is overactive and you can't, you know, sleep, and you're thinking too much, or you go into work and you get stressed out and overwhelmed because you've all this stuff to do, and you start to get worried about deadlines, and then what's going to happen if you miss this deadline, and then who's going to be mad at you, and then are you going to get written up, and all that stuff. Like, those are the mind waves, the vrittis. So to define every little thing, we'll start with the chitta. So the chitta is the mind, and in this version, because there's a lot of different definitions in the Yoga Sutras of the mind and who we are. You know, there's different words like the Atman and the ego, but we're going to just stick with the chitta right now. So the chitta is, you know, how we perceive the world. And sometimes we don't perceive it correctly. So we have this shield over us, kind of. This is our human mind. So for example, anything that you're feeling, however your day is, can make you perceive the world differently. So let's say you're driving to an appointment and you're running late, like you're running late for somewhere and you're supposed to meet somebody, then you're gonna see a world full of red lights and stop signs and pedestrians crossing the street, and you're just gonna be like, why can't I go? Why can't I get all the green lights? And you're gonna be frustrated, you're gonna have road rage. But if you were to leave earlier and you were running on time, and even if you got all those red lights and they were pedestrians, you might even be happier and you might even let people go in front of you. You might even stop and be like, hey, car, go in front of me. But when you're running late, you see the world as this frustrating, anxious thing, right? So our energy level and our emotions and everything we're doing creates those that perception of how we see the world. You can also think of it like how the world can be great, you know, one day. Let's say you just bought a new car and it's awesome and you're loving it and everything's beautiful, you know, you're taking you everywhere and, you know, your last car sucked, so this car's awesome. And then like something happens and you break down and then the rest of your day just sucks and you're like, why is this happening to me? And then it almost seems like all you can focus on is the negative stuff, right? And all the, you know, crazy stuff that's happening. So the other day when I was about to do like a video for yoga that I was creating, I was getting the whole set ready and I spilled coffee on my table. So I had to stop and clean that up. And then as I was cleaning that up, I lifted up a box because the coffee had spilled underneath and a little glass candle slid from the box and broke all over the ground. And I was actually able to keep my cool. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this stuff is happening. And I was able, I think it's because I practice yoga and I practice every single day and I really work on my mind. I was able to be like, okay, it's just one of those days. And I was able to change my mindset into like, this is really funny. But old Monica would have like been like, why does the world hate me? You know? And sometimes old Monica can like creep in again sometimes and still be like, why does the world hate me? But that day, I was able to keep my cool. But then, right after I did that, I had my window open in my bedroom for my cat to look out, and I was trying to close it, and I couldn't close it. And there was something kind of blocking and obstructing me closing it, but I couldn't see it or know that it was there for the life of me. I kind of moved into my new place recently, and I've never actually pushed my window up that far. So there were these little, like, things that were pushed into each screw that was sticking out just a little too much. And I never knew, I thought it was just a normal part of the window. So I thought something was preventing me from, like, something was snapping into place and preventing me from closing it. So I even checked all my other windows to make sure that the locks weren't on accidentally. And then I realized that, like, this little thing covering the screw kept getting more flat and flat on the top as I was trying to close the window. So I was able to pop it out, and then the window closed. But it literally took me 40 minutes, and I really didn't get it. Wasn't able to film my video, which was annoying. But, you know, that, like, took up my whole day, pretty much, like, those three crazy things happening in a row. And I could have been like, the world sucks, but I wasn't. But that's something, like I'm saying, can completely skew your perception of the world or your mind or your chitta, right? So think about everything that you're bringing to the day and what you're experiencing and your perception of it. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the vrittis, and we're going to understand what the vrittis are exactly. So the vritti actually means waves. So they are the things that, they're misconceptions actually that come in and to our mind. A lot of them are conditioned beliefs, but they're things that we believe to be true, but they have no truth to back them up. There are things that maybe somebody told us, maybe we saw something somewhere, so we created a belief system based on a thought or based on something we saw, but we really don't have any truth to back it up. So I'm going to give you an example, or maybe a few examples. So, you know, growing up, I grew up in a family where my parents had degrees and they had good jobs, and my sister's older than me. I'm the youngest sibling, and, you know, I watched her, like, she's 4.5 years older than me, so she went to college and got a job, and So I grew up in this family where I thought that like this, what you do is you, in order to succeed in this world, is you have to, you go to school, you graduate high school, then you go right to college, then after college, you meet somebody and get married and you buy a house and then you have kids and then, you know, you start saving money for your kids' college and, you know, this is like what we do in the world and this is, you know, what you have to do to be happy and you have to do these things by a certain age, you know, like most people have kids in their 20s and then in their 30s, you know, they raise their kids and then, you know, their kids go off to school and then the parents travel and all this stuff. And, you know, I had this whole like perception, my chitta, I perceived what the world should be like. All right. So I, you know, went through this world and I went to college and everything. And my life was working out how it was supposed to work out. But I, you know, wasn't, you know, living that specific life. And I actually got to a point where I got engaged. I think I was 22. Right now I'm 36. And, you know, this guy was awesome. We were together for 5 years. He's a great guy, but I wasn't fully in love with him. I was kind of following this pattern of like, okay, well, I'm this age now and I have to get married because I'm going to want to have kids at some point. So then I started planning this wedding with this guy, and even the wedding was a misconception because I started like, okay, well, we need to, you know, get somebody to officiate the wedding, and then we're gonna need to like pick out bridesmaids' dresses, and then we need flowers, and then oh, we need to get these flowers on the chairs, and then we need table, you know, centerpieces, and all this stuff, and like, oh, we need a ring bearer. And not only that, like, when I tried to plan the wedding, my parents got a little bit involved, and I'm Jewish, and my fiance was not. So my dad was like, where are you going to find a rabbi? And then my fiance was like, wait, we're getting a rabbi? So like my parents even had their own misconceptions of what my marriage and my, you know, life should be like. So it's interesting how it can like stockpile. So anyway, I decided to not go on with that wedding because I wasn't really in love with this guy and we weren't right for each other, which was the best thing that I ever did. Like, it was the best decision I made. My life changed after that. He was a great guy, and we're still friends, just so you know, but it wasn't right. And I found out after that I was planning this wedding that I didn't even want. Like, I don't even want a wedding like that. And I was planning this life that I didn't even want with this person that didn't want to spend the rest of my life with. And so I actually started to get anxiety. I was close to 30 at that point, and I started to think, like, okay, now I'm close to 30 and like what, you know, this is the point where like people maybe they have a hard time having kids and then, you know, I'm going to have to like meet somebody and be with that person for a while, make sure that we're supposed to be right for each other. Then we need to get married and then like we're going to need to enjoy our marriage and then have kids. And I just was like really concerned about my life. Like I wasn't seeing it happen how it was supposed to happen. And at this point, like, my sister had done all of that. Like, she met the right guy and like got married and was having kids, and like, and she was older than me, but like I had just surpassed the point of where she was even when she got married, and I just felt like I wasn't in the right place. So I started practicing yoga, and I found Ashtanga yoga, and I started practicing it. And I was watching my mind because that's what yoga forces you to do. And it's not the easiest process. And a lot of people give up because of that. They tend to blame the yoga or they tend to blame other things. A lot of people blame Ashtanga yoga for like causing injury so they veer away from it. But really, like, it's the person who needs to, you need to sit with it. You need to work through it so that you can move forward and be happy in your life. So anyway, I was practicing yoga. And one day I was driving home from yoga, actually. And it just clicked. Like, I had this thought where I was like, wait a second. Like, who says that I have to have kids by a certain age? And who says that I have to even ever have kids? And who says that I have to buy a house? And who says that I have to ever get married? Like, why do I believe that I have to do that? Maybe this isn't my path. Like, we all have different paths. And my uncle, for example, he never got married and never owned a home. He lived this life where he worked on a barge on the Mississippi River. and he rented his home, like his condo, for like ever. Like he, like years, like over 20 years or 30 years even. And he just had no desire. Like he just saved his money. He owned his truck, which he loved his truck. And he just traveled around and worked on the barge and made really good friends. And he lived this like really simple life. When he was younger, he flew hot air balloons in New Mexico. And he's kind of like no one else in my family, kind of like went off the beaten path, which I really admire because he just didn't care what anybody else thought. And I don't know what anybody thought of him, but he just didn't care. He was like, this is what I want to do. And I remember when I actually decided to not get married, he wrote me this email that was like, this is why it's good to be single. And at the time I didn't like really accept it. I was like depressed, and I was like, oh, well, one day I want to have kids and get married, and now I'm, you know, too old or whatever. But it was really sweet of him to write me that email and look out for me. So anyway, those are like, that is kind of an example of how yoga, you know, or about how like it's a misconception of the vritti, and like, so the misconception, and then of how that misconception, you know, I guess clouds the mind or clouds the chitta. So how we perceive things and how yoga helps to lift that misconception or the shield that's over us. That's the purpose of yoga, is to do that. And the Nirodha in the process, so yoga chitta vritti Nirodha. Nirodha means restraint or the stilling or the calmness. So Nirodha is actually like the spiraling inward. So rather than looking out into everything, like looking inward and being able to still and restrain and control these vrittis that come up. Kind of like how I was saying when I knocked everything over and that could have ruined my day, I was able to use, I say that's like a very, that's a way of Nirodha. I was able to use the Nirodha to like restrain and control the vrittis from rising. So that's kind of what yoga means in a very, you know, I guess a basic way to understand it, which is how I like to work with yoga. I like to work with it in ways that are easily able to understand. I love to also get really philosophical and deep with it, but my favorite way is to talk about it in an everyday human experience so that we can work with it in a very simple, easy, basic way. Because everything is about small steps and small chunks in life. And small steps will compound and make equal big change. So there's no point in like trying to get super deep into it right away. Like let's take gradual small steps so that we can really work with the yoga and get to that deeper place when we're ready. All right. So that's what we're doing right here in this podcast. And let's see. So I want to work with like how we can actually apply this yoga now, like how we can actually quiet the mind and what we need to do. So in the Yoga Sutras, so Patanjali says basically that we need to do yoga chitta vritti nirodha. And how do we do that? Well, we need to pick a spiritual practice. And we need to practice for a long time with devotion and get firmly grounded in our practice. So basically, he doesn't say how long, and that's a Yoga Sutra. He says that we just need to do it for a long period of time with devotion, without break. So it's really common in our world to want instant gratification. So for example, like you can't just say like, I practiced yoga for 1 week. I did this for 1 week and nothing happened. Like, no, like it means a lifetime or maybe even several lifetimes. It means like many, many, many years of practicing before yoga starts to really work. And well, that's not true. Not that yoga starts to really, really work, but for a long time so that we can take these small steps and compound them so that we actually start to experience yoga in many, many different layers. So one thing that I've realized for practicing yoga for a long period of time is that everything goes up and down. So I think there's a misconception, I guess, of vritti, where when you start practicing yoga, things just start to get better and better and better, and your life becomes more joyful and happier, and your problems and your worries start to kind of go away, and you get less and less vrittis, and that's a misconception. We just learn how to control these vrittis. We learn how to restrain them, And that is a very complicated task. It takes a lot of work and it takes a long period of time. So what I've noticed is that there are honeymoon periods with yoga, kind of like the time where I said I was driving home, because that was kind of in the beginning of when I started practicing yoga, like when I started really dedicating to a daily full practice of a 24/7 yoga practice, right? There were times where I was hopping on the mat a few times a week and I didn't have a chosen spiritual practice where I was practicing several different styles of yoga and I wasn't really studying the sutras or anything. I wasn't bringing it home with me. I was just making sure that I hopped on the mat sometimes. But when I really dedicated to my practice and started practicing for a long period of time without break and with complete devotion and bringing yoga off of the mat into my everyday life is when I started to see this change. And there's this honeymoon period that happens because you start to see this change very quickly and the world just starts to look differently to you. I'm serious. Like, you'll look at the trees and they will seem brighter. You'll look at the sky and it seems bluer. You look at the grass and it seems more green. It just seems more beautiful and bright and it's amazing. And that's kind of the honeymoon period. And then you just can't wait to hop on your mat. You can't wait to understand yoga more and see how it changes you. And then you do it for a while and you hit this plateau. Like, things start to surface. And yoga is this cleansing process. So you start with the physical, you start with the outside, and it moves inward. So things start to, as you clean, like you raise this internal heat. That's what it's called, this internal heat called the Agni. And it detoxifies and cleanses the body, but not just the body, and the mind also. And you start burning through these toxins. And in the mind, they're called samskaras, impressions. We'll talk about that more a little later, but they're basically these conditioned beliefs from things that have happened to us from way back in our childhood, and we've created these impressions for why we do the things that we do, why we avoid the things we avoid, and why we believe the things we believe. And it can cause suffering. And we burn through these samskaras, and we burn through the roots. So, you know, when you think of, like, for example, medicine, and you think of Western medicine, like Advil, let's say, and you take that for a headache, that just treats the symptom. It doesn't get to the root of the problem. But maybe the root of the problem is that you have, like, a really bad cavity, or you need a root canal, and you're getting a headache. Or maybe the root is that you have stress, like this extreme stress and anxiety from work, or an employer, or a boss, and you're now getting, like, headaches and chest pains. And maybe you think that it's something else, so you just take Advil. But really, the root is this stress or this job that you have. So yoga helps us get to the root of these problems. And when we start to bring those to the surface, when we start to really, these memories start to come up that we've kind of repressed for a while. Or maybe we didn't understand why we were the way we were, and now we start to understand that we were treated a certain way when we were younger, and this is why we're doing the things we do. And when that stuff starts to come up, it can be very painful and hard to deal with. And you have to learn how to deal with that and kind of grieve through that and let yourself be with it and cry through it and let it go. And we have to be okay with being with these emotions because, to be honest, they're not bad or good. Emotions and feelings are neutral, but we tend to label them. So we're going to label them bad or negative, and we want to get rid of them. But they're just vibrations. So that's why it's important to sit with them and to let them run their course. So if you're sad and you want to cry, and if you're angry, you need to access that. And if you are frustrated or feel anxiety or feel any kind of, suffering, like, it's okay to be with that. A lot of times we feel like we need to get rid of it, or it's not good to feel these things, or how can I not be angry, you ask, But, like, let yourself be angry. Let yourself cry. Let yourself do all those things. Don't let it control you. Just be aware that you're feeling that vibration in your body. Be aware that you're feeling that frequency and ask the question, how can I let this anger go? How can I not be angry? But don't try to force getting rid of it. And that's one thing that we tend to do. So if you're not practicing yoga, that's one thing that, you know, we usually tend to do is like, when you go back to your childhood, like, I'm like this because you treated me like this, and this is the root of my problems, and then you end up being angry towards another person. And that is okay. Like, anger and is very valid. But I think it's important that when the blame comes up, that you learn not to blame other people. Because most people aren't trying to hurt other people. So, like, let's say that you were raised in a certain way, and now, you know, your life is all in shambles because maybe you don't know how to manage your money because you got everything you ever wanted when you were younger, right? And now, like, your parents aren't helping you and you have to get a job and you're kind of in debt and you don't know how to manage your money. You don't know how to not spend money and you don't know how to save money. But, like, maybe your parents didn't mean to make you this way. Maybe they wanted to provide you with a bunch of stuff and spoil you. And they didn't intend to hurt you or make you, like, this way. But it's your first instinct to blame them and be mad at them. But their intention was never to hurt you. And so you have to think, like, you've done that stuff to people. You've had good intentions for people. And maybe they've gotten mad at you. And you've done something that hurt them in a specific way by saying something in some way. Maybe you put your foot in your mouth. But you didn't realize it because your intentions were good. So you don't want to blame other people. You want to just accept where you are and who you are and why this is happening. And then you start to make the change. And that can be very hard and difficult when that stuff starts to come up. So you hit this plateau in your practice. And it's hard to get to the mat. Like, you can even dread the mat and dread, like, God, the last thing I want to do is upward facing dog, you know, like, going to just hurt my back. It's going to feel uncomfortable. And it never used to feel uncomfortable, but now it does. Now it's just awful. So you get to this point and then you practice through it. You learn how to deal with this samskara. You learn to burn the root and you learn to let it go and you learn how to change your mindset. So instead of blaming somebody else, maybe you say, like, well, I'm glad this happened to me because now I can learn how to manage my money on my own, and it's going to be super empowering, and I'm going to be able to teach other people how to do that. When I come across somebody that is in debt and is struggling, I'm going to know how to help them step by step, and that's going to feel really good for them and for you, and it's going to be you're going to be able to empower somebody else, right? So then you've changed your mindset, and now it's a good thing. Now you understand, like, that it was part of your purpose, and you can use it in that way. So then you start hopping on the mat again, and things become really good, and you're back in, like, your second honeymoon stage, or you're back in your next honeymoon stage, and you go through it, and then, like, something else comes up, and there's constant layers that are going to go up and down. So the misconception is that things get better and better and better, but really, like, these things don't go away. They just continue to surface. You continue to learn how to deal with them. And as you practice yoga, it gets easier. Learning how, when something comes up, the observation of it, and learning how, oh, here's an issue and a root, and now I need to change my mindset. And here, look at me, I'm starting to blame somebody that's not right. And you learn how to deal with that stuff a lot easier, a lot better, and a lot faster. And you learn how to take responsibility and control it and make it into a better situation, right? And you learn some other things too. Like, rather than, you know, you learn how to ask questions. Like, why do I feel this way? So sometimes when things start to surface before you actually figure out where the root is, you just start to feel a certain way, like anxiety. So you ask questions like, why am I feeling this way? Why do I feel this anxiety in my chest? Or maybe it's, why do I feel this pain in my shoulder? Why did I used to be able to do this posture and now I can't? Where is this tightness, this stress coming from? And at the beginning, you might try to just search for a quick answer because that's what we want. We want a quick fix, right? But as you practice, you learn to just ask and you know that all is coming, just like the name of this podcast. So the best thing you can do is just ask ask the universe when you meditate or you pray. Just ask. And the answers will come. Don't sift through the brain for a quick answer. Don't try to force it. It's like trying to force a birth after 3 months when it's 9 months. Like, you can't force the answers to come. You just have to ask and you have to wait it out, which is why you have to keep practicing, and you have to practice with complete trust and devotion and dedication and trust in the process that you'll get the answers. Because you need to create that white space in your brain. You need to create the space for the answers to come. If you're constantly trying to sift through things and you're constantly, you know, consuming, you know, text or asking different people to help you find the answers, then you're just going to create more confusion in the mind. You're just going to have too much information. So I don't know if you're familiar with Tim Ferriss. He wrote The 4-Hour Workweek. He talks about being on a low information diet. Don't consume too much. Only make the decisions you need to make. He talks about entrepreneurship. So, you know, he just talks about, like, make the least amount of decisions, only work on what you have to work on, only work on what matters, and then you have that white space to actually, like, be creative. So it's the same thing with yoga. You need to ask the questions and focus on it, which is what yoga is. It's a one point of concentration. It's a focus. It's a meditation, and the answers come. So, to practice yoga, so we know what yoga is. We learned yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga is the quieting of the mind chatter, or yoga is the cessation of the fluctuations of the mind waves. We know that in order to do this, we need to choose a spiritual practice, which could be yoga or meditation, pranayama. You could even say that your spiritual practice is cooking or dancing or something like that. But when we're talking in this podcast, we're talking about yoga and practicing postures or asana or meditation. And then you need to practice for a long period of time with devotion and get really grounded in this practice and be really dedicated to it without break and for a long period of time, right? And so we're going to learn how to do that right now. So we're going to learn we're going to talk about meditation. And I'm going to teach you how to meditate, and I have a free guided meditation. So if you go to my website, theyogimovement.com/podcast1, you can download my guided meditation and a little worksheet that comes with it that you can do to record what's going on, right? And you can even use this with your yoga practice. But I wanted to give you something tangible that you could use. And for just 5 minutes a day, so it's a 5-minute meditation. So if you're not practicing yoga, if you're not hopping on the mat, you don't have a meditation practice, but you're looking for one, you got one, all right? I made it for you. And so you have no excuses. So I'm not going to do the guided meditation on the podcast. I want you to go ahead and download it. And then on our next podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to actually identify the vrittis. And we're going to talk about the 5 different types of vrittis, what they are, and we're going to identify them. And then you're going to work with that in your yoga practice as we continue to go on to try to get to the root of these issues so that you can start to live a more joyful life. All right? So here's how you meditate. So I went to this Vipassana meditation retreat. It was crazy. We meditated for 12 hours and 45 minutes a day. Crazy, right? So I learned a lot. And here's how you meditate. So you're going to want to sit in a comfortable position. So you don't want to put your feet over each other because you don't want any your feet or your leg to fall asleep. So try to come to a comfortable cross-legged position and have one foot in front of the other leg, right? Not sitting on top of each other. So in this meditation, you might find that your hips or your knees or somewhere in your legs or maybe even your lower back starts to feel discomfort or aching. So you're going to try to want to not move, and you're going to want to just sit with that. However, the point isn't to be completely uncomfortable and in pain. So if you feel like you're in pain and you need to change your seat at any point, go ahead and do it. Sit with it as long as you can, but change it if you need to. But just know that you will never injure yourself by just sitting. It's good to sit on a cushion. A cushion elevates your hips and kind of makes it a little easier on your lower back and your hips if you usually do get discomfort. So you can sit on a cushion. One thing that I saw some people doing, even the teachers at the Vipassana retreat, is they put some blocks underneath their knees. So when they had their legs crossed, they put a block underneath each knee to let the knee rest on. And I've never done that, but that looked like a comfortable way. Something I'm going to try, and maybe that will help to keep the discomfort away as well. You want to close your eyes and not move. So comfortable cross leg position, perhaps sit on a cushion. Don't move. Keep your eyes closed. And you're going to want to use my meditation, which goes 5 minutes. If you don't use my meditation for any reason, you can use a stopwatch. Just let it ding after 5 minutes. But my meditation's good. It's a body scan meditation. And we go through each area of the body and just move through and kind of understand what we're feeling and learn with the sensations in the body. And how as you move through the meditation, the sensations come and go. Just like things in our life come and go, right? So we're going to do that. And in the worksheet, what we're going to do is just kind of write down what you're feeling, the feelings and the thoughts that are coming and going through the mind. So when you're doing this meditation, you're just doing a normal breath as well. So you might notice that your breath is shallow, it's deep, maybe you can hear it, maybe you can't. You're not trying to control your breath, you're just letting it move naturally. And in the meditation, in the worksheet, you can write all that stuff down too. Like, is your breath shallow? Is your breath deep? You know, did I try to control my breath? And when you are meditating, if your mind wanders, you want to try to bring it back to the breath, back to the feeling of the breath and the sensations that we're moving through in the body, all right? And if your mind wanders, it's okay. Like, that's human, that's normal. So you don't, meditation isn't about so much like controlling your, stopping your mind, because that's actually impossible. You can't control your mind. You can just control your reactions. So don't worry if your mind wanders, just bring it back to the breath. And then you're going to think about the questions that you want to ask. If you're feeling anxiety in your chest, or you're feeling tight or stiff, or maybe you can't be present every day, and maybe you feel like you can't be present, maybe the question is, why can't I be present, you know? So think about those things too. And then next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the vrittis. We're going to talk about what's going on, and I'm going to do this with you. And so that way I'm going to be able to share with you what happened and how I went through it and experienced it and what kind of vrittis I have, and hopefully that'll help you as well going through your notes on your meditation. So thank you so much for coming to this podcast and listening in and tuning in. I hope that I gave you some insight and helped you out. I would love it if you would share, if you wanted to go to my website, theyogimovement.com, and if you went to this site where you do yogimovement.com/podcast1, if you think this could help somebody else, please share with them. And then since this is new, my podcast is new, I would love a review on iTunes. I think so many people could value from learning how to practice yoga and how to bring this into their life, even if it's just 5 minutes a day. So if you feel like this is valuable to you, please give me a good review on iTunes. That would mean so much to me and the world to me. And it just means the world to me that you're here and that we're connected in this little yoga family. So thanks so much. I'll see you next week. Namaste.